actually need you to play that through for me once.
Okay.
I did not grow up with it.
Oh, okay. There's some branches of Mennonite.
Thank you.
that up to like a D.
I think that's just what it did before.
Yes, probably.
Welcome, everyone. We'll start soon. Today, we'll use the circle structure again, and when it's time to speak, a microphone will get to you in some way. So welcome, everyone, to Milwaukee Mennonite Church. So glad to meet with everyone here and on Zoom. Today is Pentecost Sunday, the 50th day after Easter Sunday, when the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles when they were in Jerusalem. And we are so grateful for the Spirit's presence in our lives and those around us. Would you please pray with me? Life-giving God, may your Holy Spirit inspire our praise and our prayers. Open our hearts and minds to your presence among us and within us. Come alive in our words and our actions as we worship you today. Amen. So we start with Acts 2. And Rachel, I'll give you one microphone here.
Acts 2, verses 1 to 21. When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them.
There were many Jews. Is it on, Sam? Okay. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then when they heard, one after another, their own mother tongues being spoken, they were blown away. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, "Aren't these all Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in our various mother tongues?" And then it names many countries that I cannot pronounce. Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, among many other countries, immigrants from Rome, from both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs. They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works.
Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. What's going on here? Others joked, "They're drunk on cheap wine."
That's when Peter stood up, backed by the other 11, and spoke out with bold urgency. "Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk, as some of you suspect. They haven't even had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced would happen.
In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your young men will see visions, your old men dream dreams. When the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women both, and they'll prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvelous. And whoever calls out for help to me, God, will be saved."
Thank you.
62, God is here among us. And we will be singing this one in English.
We come to a time of confession. Please turn in the back of the books to 893. I invite you to read this silently by yourselves first, and then we will pray it together. Please read the bold print. For failing to love others as you have loved us, God of grace,
forgive us.
For wasting your gifts and hoarding our goods, God of grace,
forgive us.
For plundering the earth and abusing the planet, God of grace, for fearing those who are strange to us and ignoring those in need, God of grace,
forgive.
For losing heart and abandoning hope, God of grace,
forgive.
For all the ways we turn from you, God of grace,
forgive.
We offer our prayers in the name of the one who saves us, Jesus Christ. In Christ, all things are made new, and we are forgiven. Please stand or stay seated, as you wish, and pass the peace to each other.
Thank you.
Our next hymn is going to be number 377, New Earth, Heavens New.
Romans 8:22-27. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For those who hopes for what is seen. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for all the saints according to the will of God.
John 15, 26 to 27, and then 16, 4b to 15. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who comes from the Father, he will testify. Actually, she will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send her to you. And when she comes, she will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will no longer see me. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of Truth comes, she will guide you into all the truth, for she will not speak on her own, but will speak whatever she hears, and she will declare to you the things that are to come. She will glorify me because she will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that she will take what is mine and declare it to you.
And I really don't know how this is going to go. I'm not trying to do what I did probably last time, 5 years ago or so. I'm at a new time in my life, and I'm trying to figure it out. So this is trying to be there a little bit. There's a quote attributed to C.S. Lewis that some of the places I looked said it's not his, but it's attributed to him a lot. And I can't find any other source, and even the people who say it wasn't Lewis don't say where it was from. But it says, I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God, it changes me. When I read that first line, I pray because I can't help myself, it reminded me of an animated movie, probably before, well, not before Ray's time, but before the rest of us. It actually came out of East Germany before reunification, which is all the more startling. There is no dialogue. And it's only about 10, 15 minutes long. And it starts out with an animated birth of a baby who comes out singing. And then the baby grows and keeps singing and then gets to school and Other classmates make fun of him for singing, and eventually gets in a job and sings at work, and just keeps, can't sing. You know, they try to put him down. Eventually, there is a rush of people who trample him, and then he's buried. And when people walk away from his grave, that same music comes up out of the grave. The title of that little piece is called Der Mann der singen musste, The Man Who Had to Sing. And I guess that triggers me to give you a chance. I'm not going to pass Mike around yet. You'll get a chance for that later. But in just a word or two, why do you pray?
Connection.
I was trying to not make it that formal. Well, let me move on then. You can ponder that, because that sort of begs the next question that has puzzled me for many years. And having been a pastor, I've often been in the spot where I had to lead public worship. Why is it that we tell God what we believe God already knows? Do we think God is stupid? Do we think God needs us to know what needs to be done? Well, Anthony Bloom, who's a, I guess he's no longer living, a Russian Orthodox mystic at any rate, in his little book, Beginning to Pray, he describes an elderly French peasant who goes into the village church and sits there quietly for hours, pretty much every day. And the priest is a little perplexed and so goes to him and finally says, "What are you doing here?" And he says, "I look at him, he looks at me, and we are happy." And to me, that captures something about the Spirit's role in prayer. And that's really where I'm going today, because both the John and Romans passages communicate about the role of the Spirit. Roberta Bondi, who is now emeritus professor at Emory, I think, their divinity school. But at any rate, she has written extensively about prayer and specifically about intercessory prayer. And she says the point of intercessory prayer is two good friends talking to each other, two good friends having a conversation about what's important to both of them. And I think that makes a lot of sense. And I know sometimes we say, well, when we pray, we talk to God, and when we read the Bible, God talks to us. And that's certainly true enough, as it is. But I think if we look at the role of the Holy Spirit in our prayer lives, we begin to see that our experience of prayer can be expanded to an intimate conversation with God as our closest friend. The John passage that we read talks about the Holy Spirit speaking for God to us, that there's going to bear witness to what Jesus said. I'm going to tell you what's coming, and pointing ahead to their witness. And we have to, keep in mind that there was no New Testament at this time. So they were depending on oral tradition. And as the apostles got older and started to die out, then there was an impetus for them to write down what they had experienced with Jesus. And so in the very early church, even far away from Jerusalem, part of worship was to read or recite the memoirs of the apostles, the things that they remembered from Jesus. And that would be used by the Spirit then to guide them and us into all truth. And I think the fact that this came into the Gospels is part of the reason, and I know many of you have heard me say this before, if you really want to follow Jesus, you have to have at least a little dose of gospel every day. You have to have a little picture of Jesus. You don't have to read the whole thing, just one incident or one thing that he says, but something every day that connects you to Jesus. That's how you can learn how to follow him. And then the Spirit uses that so that we still have Jesus speaking to us. God is speaking to us. The Romans 8 passage is one that I really like, and quite frankly, that's the reason that I signed up, or at least inquired about being able to do this tonight. That's my first chance back at it, and I know Amy had originally been scheduled and was gracious enough to let me jump in here so I could talk about this particular passage. But the way Romans 8 presents it, the Holy Spirit speaks for us to God. That's what interceding means, go in between. I really appreciate the prayers that are in the Leader magazine, the prayers that are in Voices Together. I know in some traditions there's a little, just reading a prayer. But I'd have to say, my take is that for 2,000 years, the church has been refining things that we human beings want to communicate to God. And so we can really pray. It's not just going through the words there. And I know leading prayer for a group of people, particularly if you're doing it free form, but I rather like that we have the resources, which enables, you know, those of you who would be terrified to stand up there and invent a prayer while you're talking. It gives you a way to do that. Anybody can do that. My only caution, I guess, would be to say is to really pray. I guess I'm kind of a believer in the value of liturgy. And I've mentioned before when I would do funerals, and often for people that I knew well and loved, and I'd sit on the chancel waiting and praying, I don't know if I can do this. And then I stand up and start the liturgy. Eternal God, maker of heaven and earth, you formed us from the dust of the earth, and by your breath you gave us life. And it's there. The Spirit is there. And I'm really talking to God, and I'm trying to include everybody who's there in talking to God at a time when it's really hard for us to know what we want to be able to say. And I think the Spirit goes one step farther with that. We think of conversation as, you know, it's me talking to God or me talking to Lori, but the Holy Spirit comes and lives among us and in us, so that our conversation is really an intimate fellowship of ongoing whatever. It's not, I say conversation, it's maybe not always even conversation. As her Alzheimer's progressed, it kind of became a little different, but one of the things that I really admired about Candy's spiritual life was that she had kind of a running stream of consciousness conversation with God all day. She's doing all of her stuff. And I know, again, like I say, especially as her Alzheimer's got worse, it was, you know, the same thing over and over and over again. But there is something in that passage that I really like, where Paul says, we don't know how to pray as we should. Even with all 2,000 years of the church's refined prayers, still not what we should. And I think any of us in our personal prayer life, we feel that. Do I have to say something special to get God to listen? How do I know what I should be asking God for? What do I need to be telling God about? And the Romans passage there, Paul says, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. Some translations say sighs, but I did a little bit of language research and found that the word that's translated sigh and the word that's translated groan other places in the same passage are basically different forms of the same word. And I kind of like the groaning because maybe that's who I am and what happens, you know, with me. But what's interesting to me about this is that groaning is not just used of the Spirit interceding with groans too deep for words, but we ourselves groan and sigh, waiting for our adoption, waiting for the redemption of our bodies, waiting for that day when everything will work right again. You know, I'll be able to stand up and sit down. I don't want to trivialize that, but, you know, that's a place where I'm aware that I have to be careful on steps. I have to be careful standing up. I have to be careful of my balance. You know, that's part of it, that our bodies groan for something better than what we all experience. But even more than that, Paul says here that all creation groans, waiting for the revelation of the children of God. I don't think we have to be too much imagination to recognize that the world we're living in is groaning. There's human suffering, there's war, there's environmental problems, there's health issues, and not only are we not where we wish we could be, all of creation is not where we wish it could be, and I think what Paul is suggesting here, where it eventually will be. And I'm comfortable enough to say, I don't know how that's going to happen, but I trust that God's going to figure that out somewhere. It's too deep for words. I can't put it in words. It's groaning. Now, I want to share a couple of things with you about my praying during my, or really Candy's, 8-year journey with Alzheimer's. I don't want you all to feel sad. And, you know, I don't want you to somehow think, you know, Norm's the great prayer expert and he used that when his wife was struggling. But there were some things that happened. I, too, don't know how to pray as I ought. And I can tell you, I groaned a lot through those 8 years. And having been a pastor, I accompanied a lot of people on similar journeys through dementia, through other kinds of terminal illnesses. And there were people who were caregivers who, just by sheer grit, continued to take care of their loved ones even after their strength was spent. And some were spent before that time came, and other help had to be brought in. And my prayer that really started before we even moved from Texas to Wisconsin, after Candy was diagnosed, I kept praying almost every day, some way or another, Lord, I want to be strong enough, long enough to take care of Candy all of her days. And thanks to our family, thanks to all of you, God answered that prayer. I'm still here. I'm not as strong as I was 8 years ago by a long shot, but you know, I was able to be here and make sure she was cared for and be with her, hold her in my arms as she took her last breaths. Not often knowing what to say, what to pray, and I never felt that it was appropriate for me to pray and somehow tell God he needed to heal her completely, miraculously, immediately. You know, this is part of human experience. I guess I'd have to say I had enough faith in the Holy Spirit that if the Spirit wanted to groan that to God, that could have happened. But I didn't consider that a lack of faith. I considered that a part of putting this in God's hands. And again, almost every day, I found myself praying from Psalm 31:5, Lord, into your hands I commit my wife. You have redeemed us, faithful God. And can't tell you how much that has meant to me. And I know we think of it in terms of Jesus on the cross, but Jesus was quoting Psalm 31:5. He had that as a reserve when he was at his extremity. And I think that's part of why we have things in the Psalms for us. Now, when Candy was at Oak Park Place and her condition was deteriorating, and especially after the first of the year, deteriorating rapidly, you know, she could no longer toilet herself, she could no longer feed herself, she could no longer speak. And, you know, I cried, I groaned. And just often sat there in her room, just letting that go to God. And on that last Thursday, when I went to see her, I was pretty well aware that that was going to be her last day. You know, I didn't need to say anything. I could just groan and depend on God through the Spirit to be there with me and us in that extremity.
Thanks, Norm. Our next song is 677. 677. Just going to read the words first. Through our fragmentary prayers and our silent heart-hid sighs, wordlessly the Spirit bears our profoundest needs and cries. Deeper than the pulse's beat is the Spirit's speechless groan. making human prayers complete through the prayer that is God's own. Let our jabberings give way to the hummings in the soul as we yield our lives this day to the God who makes us whole. Search and sound our mind and heart, breath and flame and wind and dove. Let your prayer in us impart strength to do the work of love. You're welcome to do the humming or just listen to the piano at those parts, up to you at the measures at the end. Okay, I feel a little bit of pressure about praying now, but I know it's all you, and I know that the Spirit can take over. And I really like, Norm, how you said praying is basically just giving it to God, just putting it in God's hands. So we will do that. Would you pray with me? Spirit of God, we have gathered in this place to pray together. God, thank you for your Spirit that can pray for us when we don't have the words, when we don't know the right thing to say. God, be with us when we pray for others and those we love. We pray for our community. God, we pray for our world. And pray for peace. God, thank you for bringing strength where there is weakness, hope where there is fear, and beauty out of devastation. We gather all these prayers, both the spoken and unspoken, and we lay them in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our final song for today will be number 827, Move in Our Midst.
Thank you, everyone, for contributing to today's service, from being here, being on Zoom, leading singing, playing piano, giving a sermon, reading scripture. Thank you. Please stand to receive the benediction. Go knowing that the boldness of the Spirit will transform us, and the gentleness of the Spirit will lead us. May the gifts of the Spirit be our goal and our strength, now and always. Go in peace. Yeah.